Father God, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for another opportunity to gather in your presence, to learn the truth of your word. Minister to these people, Father. Feed them fresh manna from heaven. Let them leave with more than what they had when they came. Show us tonight, Father God, your glory. Magnify your Son, Jesus, to us. Let your Holy Spirit has his full reign in here tonight, Father. And we thank you for the angelic host who are moving throughout these chairs, ministering to your people. You are worthy. You are so worthy, Father God, of our praises. And Father, whoever needs a miracle, I'm asking you to perform that miracle right now. Move upon your people, those here and those listening in. Father God, let them have angelic visitations tonight. Let them understand that your kingdom is alive and well. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, we give you full reign in here tonight. You do whatever God is telling you to do, and we will not hinder. Thank you. You know, many of you in here tonight, you have to understand that God wants to move in mighty ways in your lives. And he wants to do the impossible. You also have to understand that at this given time that many will fall away from the church. You have to understand that even though God places souls in front of you for you to minister to, they aren't going to receive the gospel. They might have get a taste of it, but they decide they don't like what they taste and they'll walk away. And you have to understand that's not your fault. You are a vessel that you allow God to work through. And the other vessel has to either receive or reject. And there's going to be a lot of rejecting as you go forth right now to try to bring in the harvest, because the people have been so programmed for evil that they aren't going to receive good. You have to be ready for this. You know, and God is saying, as you read, if you read his word from front to back, you will see that very few really received him as Lord and Savior. Very few wanted to follow the truth. And we're living in a dispensation of time where that is so true. Many would rather follow the lie than the truth. God is saying this new journey that he's placed your feet upon is an undertaking that will reach far into the foreign lands that he's going to send you to. And the foreign lands are unsaved people. You're going to go far and wide with this. So please, whatever you do, do not give in. Keep on pursuing what God is telling you to pursue. And whether the people receive it or not is not up to you. And God is saying the program and the agenda in hell is to win as many souls as they can win in a very short time, because the window is closing. And the enemy knows he has but a short time to gather in his harvest. of souls to torment. God wants to talk tonight about being born of the Spirit. And let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You really need to be born of the Spirit. You have to be a spirit person, a spirit vessel, if you're going to do anything for God. Your flesh will do absolutely nothing for the kingdom of heaven. Nothing. It's all spirit or it's nothing. And Matthew 3:11 says, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So see, as John the Baptist was baptizing the people, they were not receiving the Holy Spirit, and they were not receiving the fire of God. Because until Jesus received the Holy Spirit, that was not possible. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And in John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's stop there. In my teachings through the years, the one thing that has been missing in the body of Christ is the Spirit. Always flesh, but very seldom do you Spirit of God do you see the Spirit of God moving in the house of God. You know, I sit and ponder, God, why is it they do not have the Holy Spirit in its fullness? Every time we do a baptism, we fast and we pray. And when the people go down in the water and come up, they're always in the Spirit. They just float on the water. And some see visions. They're filled with the Spirit, but what happens to them? They lose that. They don't follow through with following God. Because they just take for granted this always going to be there. But what we have to understand is the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And if you don't want him, he will walk away from you. So your baptism did nothing because you didn't work at keeping it. All right? For us to see the kingdom means that we have come to recognize that once we have submitted ourselves to Jesus as being our Savior, there is much more that can be gained if we will submit 100% of our being to him as being our Lord. What did Nicodemus ask Jesus in John 3, 4? Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus then told Nicodemus that there are two realms of life. In John 3, 5 and 6, Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There are two distinct realms of life that we were created to experience. The first one is the natural man relates to and can move only in the temporal earthly realm, as man became dead to the spiritual realm through the transgressions of Adam. Now, the second one is the spiritual man. Through regeneration, being reborn in the spirit, relates to both the earthly and the heavenly spiritual realm. And we need to understand that every action of mankind apart from God flows downward. We see that which is born of the flesh can only produce a fuller manifestation of the flesh. And every action of God through our new birth moves us upward. Therefore, to one who has been born of the Spirit, there is an ever-present call to come higher. You have to come higher. What has God been asking us? Come higher. He wants us to get out of this earthly realm that we've born into, and he wants us to come higher into the spiritual realm that produces spirit manifestations. The problem with the church has been, they read the scripture says you have to be baptized in the water. And so they have a long line of people getting baptized, but that's all they do is just baptize, and they stick them in the water and pull them back up again. They are never filled with the Spirit. What happened when Jesus was baptized by John? The dove, the Holy Spirit, hovered over him, and Jesus said, "This is my Son." He was filled with the Spirit at that point, and he went forth in the Spirit, and he ministered great signs, wonders, and miracles. The body of Christ is wondering why we are not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles manifested. It's because you're not walking in the full, either not walking in the fullness of the Spirit, or you're not walking in the Spirit at all. So if you're going to go out there and minister to the lost and dying world, you're going to have the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness operating through you, so that when you minister to them, the Spirit of God can do the ministering and you're going to see souls saved. Are you understanding this? When I used to travel and you know, to different states and do different, whole different, well, they would invite me. The people would always run up to me crying, and they just said, "I don't know what's wrong with me, but I need something." What was happening? The Spirit of God that was in me was drawing them, not to me, but to the Jesus in me. And they didn't understand what was going on, and I had to explain it to them so they could receive the Spirit of God in all of its fullness. But if you don't understand what's going on in you, then you're not going to be able to tell anybody else what is going on either. And if you're not walking in the Spirit and carrying the Spirit of God with you, you're not going to see souls saved. Are you understanding this? Very imperative that we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Is that where I meant? Yeah. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now let's stop there. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what's that telling you? If you have a sin nature that you cannot get control of or get rid of, then you're not walking in the Spirit. You're still walking in the flesh, and you're going to carry that thing with you until you get full of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will rip that thing out of you. You're trying to do it on your own, and it's not working. And instead of you trying to do it, why don't you just ask God to fill you with His Spirit so that this Holy Spirit will take that thing out of you, right? In Acts 7:51, says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." And see, this is another problem with the body of Christ. The churches aren't walking in the Spirit. And so when you go into the churches, they're not teaching you about the Holy Spirit, and they're not walking in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you leave just as empty as you came. Now, that's not all churches, okay? But the majority of churches are like that. And God's been talking about the remnant churches that he's had on the backside of the desert. Those are the ones he's bringing forth at this given time. And those are the ones that he's going to use, because the ones that are out there will not give his Holy Spirit any room in their churches. So therefore, he's leaving the church. You are the church. Now, if you are not giving the Holy Spirit any space in you, then God is going to leave you also. All right? Like the wind, then Jesus added in John 3:7-8, "Don't be surprised when I say that you must be born from above. Only God's Spirit gives new life. The Spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it wants to. You can hear the wind, but don't know where it comes from or where it is going." We don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to move. You know, I pray he moves in every service, and he does. But we never know how he's going to move. We just give him permission to move, and then he does whatever the Father's telling him to do. All right? When Jesus used the word wind, Jesus lifted this experience being born again into the dimension of spirit. We all know wind can be felt but not seen. There are three witnesses: the spirit, the water, and the blood. I can guarantee you that about 90% of you who are in here or listening, you've been baptized more than one time. In my travelings in the Air Force, every church I went to, that I had to get baptized in their church. But I was never filled with the Spirit. I was just dunked because it was their church, and I had to be dunked in their water. Haven't you all done that? You know, the churches want you to be baptized in their place. That does not make you born again. It just makes you wet. I'm serious. If you're truly baptized in the Spirit, then you become born again. I was baptized many, many times, but I wasn't born again until 1977. Then I was baptized in the Spirit. Then I was born again. Before that, I was just a child of God. Then I was born in the Spirit and understood I could hear God's voice, and I understood the miracles that the Bible talks about I could do, because the Holy Spirit was in me, and it's the Holy Spirit that does those things and not me. All right, I said there are three witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Concerning this, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You are hearing about this experience, but in your present state of spiritual experience, you neither understand it nor are you able to enter. You must first be born of water and of spirit." And that's in John 3:5. He said, "You are hearing about this experience just like you are. But in your present state of spiritual experience, you neither understand it nor are you able to enter, period. You must first be born of water and of the spirit." Some of you, unknowingly, you had a great experience with God years and years ago where all you could do was cry for 3 or 4 days and you couldn't get yourself together. It was at that point that you were filled with the Spirit of God. But because nobody taught you what was going on or told you, could tell you what was going on, you didn't pursue walking in the Spirit, and you sort of just sloughed that experience off. Now, God told me, daughter, I will teach you. My spirit will teach you of all things. You don't need to go away to college. My spirit will teach you. And that's how I've learned what I know is by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Things would happen in my life, and I would go to pastor and say, this and this happened, and I'd be all befuddled. I didn't know what was going on. And they told me, just go home, be quiet. Why did they tell me that? Because they weren't walking in the spirit, and they couldn't explain spiritual things. Now, you're going to have to walk in the spirit if you're going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, you can go out there and do whatever you want to do, but you're not going to make any changes in anybody's life. It's when you walk in the spirit and the Holy Spirit's in you and you give it permission to do whatever it wants to do. All you are is the vessel that, and God has to use a vessel to work through. He doesn't have to, but that's the way he does it. And he's looking for vessels who will yield 100% to him, stay yielded, and do the works he's calling you for to do. All right, the next scripture will help in our understanding of what Jesus is saying. In 1 John 5:8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So to be born of water speaks of our being water baptized. To be born of the Spirit speaks of our receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit as Jesus did when he was baptized in the Jordan. I've heard many testimonies of people who go over there and are baptized in the Jordan and they are totally and completely changed. And I really believe it's because there's such an anointing of the Holy Spirit in that water that it enters into the people and it changes their lives totally and completely. Amen? Come on. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be what? Baptized. Every one of you, he didn't say be sprinkled. Like some churches don't believe in dunking you, they believe in sprinkling you. Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, when you're baptized, you're just going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, people don't tell you that when they have you lined up until you get in the water. They just dunk you. They don't say, now, when we put you in there, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. We always instruct people what is going to happen to them when they are baptized. And so they go down there ignorant, and they come up ignorant. They are just wet. So if you guys are going to go out there baptizing people, make sure you yourself have been baptized and are born again and are walking in the Spirit. And then explain to the people what's going on. And if you're full of the Spirit, if you're doing the baptism, they're going to get full of the Spirit too. Now what they do with that experience is up to them. They can either grow in it or they can die in it. The Bible tells me we have to work out our salvation daily. Work out our salvation. It's not a thing that drops on us and then we just have it. We have to work it out. The same way is with the Holy Spirit. You have to constantly invite him in and give him permission to work through you. Constantly. How many of you, when I hug somebody, I'll say, Holy Spirit, just get so engrafted in them that you'll rule and reign in their life forever. Because without the Holy, I can tell you, testify to you, without the Holy Spirit, you are nothing. You're absolutely nothing. The blood atonement of Jesus on the cross blots out our sin as if we had never sinned, but we still have the Adamic nature. In water baptism, as we are totally immersed, our Adamic nature goes down to the grave, supposedly, and we come up out of the water as being a new creation with our capacity to function in a spiritual realm restored. I get totally amazed at when we baptize people and the experience they have 2 months down the road, they're a sinner all over again. And I know that I know that I know that they received the Holy Spirit and they had an experience in that water. The Holy Spirit didn't leave. You didn't keep him welcomed. And you didn't work at your salvation. So he left. All right? Where death becomes life. Let's look at Romans 6, verse 1 through 6. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left a country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. Our nature has been changed, and the taproot of our Adamic nature has been cut. Now we can walk in newness of life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you get baptized and get the Holy Spirit, that you have a new life, a new nature, and you will no longer desire those old sins that you used to walk in? And I've asked God many, many times, God, I watch people. Why are they still in sin? And I know without even God telling me that you're not walking in the Spirit. But God says they're not walking in my Spirit in all of its fullness. And therefore, the Holy Spirit cannot help them. They hinder him from doing what he was sent to do, and that is to set you free. He orders your footsteps, the Holy Spirit does, if you read the Word. But it really grieves my spirit when I look at the people sitting in the house of God, knowing there's so much more to their walk with God if they would just allow the Holy Spirit to come in all of his fullness and take over and do what he can do. You know, without the Holy Spirit, you can't really prophesy properly. It's the Holy Spirit that prophesies through you, hopefully, and it's not you. And all you are is a willing vessel that has yielded your vessel over to God and said, God, use me in any way you want to use me. Holy Spirit, you take control of my tongue, and you say through me what God wants to say, nothing more, nothing less. Sometimes I sit anymore and I listen to what God says, and I'm totally amazed at how he has me speak in the words that he says. Today it was precise. There was no question to what God was saying to you. And if you would come to me and say, what did God mean? I would tell you, you need to go be saved. Because he didn't leave any doubt to what he was saying to you. But I would not be prophesying or call myself a prophet. And I'm telling you this because God told me I was a prophet and he's the one that's led me down this road. But I would not be saying I was a prophet if I was not walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Because what happened is it gets a mixture in there. Some of God and some of your flesh. And if you're not walking in the Spirit totally and completely, the enemy will make sure your flesh takes control. See, the Holy Spirit, if you have him in all his fullness, he leads, guides, and directs. Why do you think there's so much sin in the pulpits in America? It's because the ministers are not walking in the Spirit, and they're allowing their flesh to have its way. And that is not pleasing to God. You're going to see a lot of churches close. because God is tired of the religious spirits. And he told us he no longer is even entertaining the religion anymore. It's spirit calls unto spirit. If you're wanting revival and you want miracles to happen, are you walking in the spirit? Have you died to your flesh? If you haven't, God's not going to use you. He will move on to somebody else. I'm hearing God say, you have lived recklessly up until now. In other words, you've done what you wanted to do and called it God. But God is no longer going to allow that. He's no longer going to be slapped in the face because of your sin nature. He's done with all that. Under the law, righteous living was required, but man was incapable of this and utterly failed under the law. In the new covenant, the ability to live a righteous life was given. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart. See that? And a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. He said, I will put my spirit in you. Right? The baptism in the Holy Spirit provides this ability, that which will cause or give us the power that will enable us to live above sin. Right now, God's talking about returning your first love again. And a lot of people they think they're still following Christ, but they aren't. They've yielded to their flesh once again. They pushed the Holy Spirit out of their lives. And things are going wrong in their life, and they can't figure out why. And it's because you did not allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct your footsteps. All right? You know, I feel sorry for people who don't know what it's like to walk in the Spirit. It's a whole different life. Totally different life. And when the Spirit is not active, you feel dead. You feel totally and completely dead. And if I was you, I would not tempt God to cause the Holy Spirit to leave you for a season, because that's what he will do if you get into rebellion. I've been there, done that one time. I won't ever go there again. He said, okay, you want to do that? I'll let you do that. A year later, he came back. He said, now, are you ready to straighten up? And the Holy Spirit was active once again. What did I do that made God do that? A pastor, God, he went and did his sermon all about me, how bad I was and everything else, because somebody else told him a lie. And everybody said, you're not upset. I said, no, you need to be upset. I'm not upset because it wasn't the truth. Well, lo and behold, I said, you know, I have a right to be upset. And God said to me, don't go there. Don't you dare go there. And I said to God, I will if I want to. And I'm upset. He said, okay, you go ahead and be upset. For 1 year. The only time I knew the Spirit of God was with me is when I got up behind this pulpit to preach. Other than that, no spirit. God let me do that for a whole year. I was begging him, please, I'm sorry, bring the Holy Spirit back. You know, all the time, just not behind the pulpit. He wouldn't let me quit preaching. He made me preach. That was also a judgment. Then finally, one day he said, when I tell you not to do something, don't do it. And the Holy Spirit came back in all of its fullness. Now never, ever do something like that again. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you do stuff like that. And he doesn't want to be with you. Are you listening to this? Some of you in here, you're intelligent. You've got a lot going for you. But the Spirit is not there in all its fullness, because you're grieving him by something you're doing. So he just steps back and he lets you go ahead and do your thing. Acts 1:8 says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is Jesus speaking. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What's he say? You shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you're going to be a witness. See that? So without the Holy Spirit, you don't have power and you can't be a witness. You wonder why you can't win souls. Where's the Holy Spirit in the whole scenario? Are you taking this in? Are you understanding that you need the Holy Spirit in order for anything to happen in your life? Thus, the blood forgives our sin. The water changes our nature. And the Spirit gives us the ability or the enabling power to enter into the realms of the spiritual above all that is earthly. These three together as one provides a full salvation experience that will enable us to enter the kingdom. Now we're going to read that again because that's important. Thus the blood forgives our sin. The water changes our nature. See, all right, so we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. The blood there forgave us of our sins, but we just don't stop there. Then the water changes our nature. And the Spirit gives us the ability, enabling power to enter into the realms of the spiritual above all that is earthly. These three together as one provides a full salvation experience that will enable us to enter the kingdom. So many people just have the first part, which is the blood, and they have not yet done the others. And that is why they are struggling in their walk with God. That is why the sin nature keeps popping its head up. Now you might say, well, I was one of those that was baptized and received the Spirit, but what did you do with it? You don't have it. I can tell you, you don't have it anymore. You come and ask me, I'll tell you if you have the Spirit or not. I know your fruit, but I can also feel it when you're around me. You can feel when somebody has the Spirit and when they don't. Are you understanding this? Come up higher. Jesus said that all this is comparable to the wind. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. We don't know where the Spirit comes from, and we know it comes from heaven. But when he sweeps through here and he starts doing things, you know, you just don't know where he came from or you know, what he's going to do next. I mean, you know, this morning, you know, he did so many things, so many different things. I mean, I always invite him in, you know, during praise and worship, but even before I get here, when I pray for the service, and, you know, I said, do whatever you want to do. But then all of a sudden, he just starts doing all kind of things. And that's great, and that's wonderful. When I get in my car and go home, I just sit there in total amazement at what he did. But see, as your pastor, if I wouldn't invite him into the service and turn the service over to him, these things could not happen. Are you understanding this? If I just want me to be recognized, nothing's going to happen because I can do nothing on my own. It's the Holy Spirit indwelling. Even in your homes, you should tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, be strong in me and just go through my house and convict those who are not saved. And I can always tell he does it because they act up, really act up. And so then you know for without a shadow of a doubt that the Spirit is with you and that he is doing what God wants him to do through you, through your prayers. Where am I at? John 7, is that where we're at? John 7, verse 37 says, on the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his hand, he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone, it's the person, who believes in me this way, just as the scripture says. He said this in regard to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were about to receive. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So you read the scriptures, if you really read them right, Jesus was the only one that had the Spirit when he was ministering throughout the land. The disciples did not. Just Jesus. And look at the great mighty works that Jesus did as the disciples looked on and questioned a lot of things. And you'll find out if you're the only one walking in the Spirit in your group, they're going to question, why did you do this and why did you do that? Because they do not understand the things of the Spirit. Some of you need this teaching really bad because God's going to be sending you forth in the Spirit to do a great and mighty works for him. And people are not used to the Holy Spirit, and so they're going to question everything that you do. Are you understanding this? So your reply is, ask God. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. I'm just the vessel. Don't sit and squabble over dumb stuff. You just be a vessel of honor that God can move through. All right, Galatians 5:22 said, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. Always keep in mind that God will not glorify the flesh. He just won't do that. In Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you one thing, guys. If you're living in your home and you're the only one saved, then stay saved. Don't go down to their level. Don't do the things that they're doing. You stay up there in heavenly places where God has you placed, and they need to come to you. You don't go to them. Took 14 years, but finally somebody in my home got converted, and they come to me crying and said, I've watched you all these years. I've watched how you handled things. I watched how you gave love when there was no reason to give love. And he went on and on and on. He said, you're a true woman of God, and I can trust God. But see, it was 14 years of observation. 14 years of me being steadfast and not going to their level, but making them come to mine. Are you understanding this? This is what you're sent to do. You are not sent out there to go grovel with the world. You are sent out there as a light in the darkness to bring the light of Jesus Christ into people's lives. Was I always a godly example? Absolutely not. I mean, after all, you get on, you push so far in your own home, and then the steam valve goes off, right? On the pressure cooker. Isn't that the way it works? You know, we're not Jesus. But then as I read his word, he had a pressure valve too. And when his pressure cooker was at the right place, it blew this lid too. You know, so I don't walk around condemning myself over being human. All right. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, this is John speaking, he said, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. God says, come up here, John. And then immediately the Spirit took hold of John and took him up there. You wonder why you can't go in. You know, I really don't believe everybody says they walk to heaven all the time, really do that. But, you know, that's That's my observation. But if you're wondering why you don't go to heaven, could it be that you're not walking in the Spirit the way you ought? And you can't go to heaven because it's a higher realm, and you're not ready for that higher realm. All right? I said, God, please let me see heaven, and said he took me to hell. And he had to do that because I was getting hard-hearted with people who wouldn't, you know, just wouldn't straighten up. But he had to let me see what would happen to them if they went to hell, because I didn't want to pray for them either. I'm just being honest. And he let me see what they were going to go through if they went to hell. And that changed my mind immediately. He said to me, you've already been in heavenly places. Now you have to visit this place to save souls. So maybe some of you, and so you keep, take me to heaven, take me to heaven. Maybe you really need to go to hell and see what hell is really like, just so you don't go there. Now, so that the souls that seem hard, that you can't, it seems like you can't reach, you'll have more compassion for them. And you understand why they do what they do. And you will pray for them. And you'll cry and say, God, please don't let anybody go to hell. All right. All right. In summary, in Romans 8:5, people who live following their sinful selves think only about what they want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about what the Spirit wants them to do. If your thinking is controlled by your sinful self, there is spiritual death. But if your thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. Why is this true? Because anyone whose thinking is controlled by their sinful self is against God. They refuse to obey God's law, and really, they are not able to obey it. Those who are ruled by their sinful selves cannot please God. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You're ruled by the Spirit, if that Spirit of God really lives in you, period. If the Spirit of God really lives in you, then you are ruled by the Spirit. But whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Your body will always be dead because of sin. But if Christ is in you, then the Spirit gives you life because Christ made you right with God. God raised Jesus from death. And if God's Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your bodies that die. Yes, God is the one who raised Christ from death, and he will raise you to life through his Spirit living in you. So, my brothers and sisters, we must not be ruled by our sinful selves. We must not live the way our sinful selves want. If you use your lives to do what your sinful selves want, you will be spiritually. You will die spiritually. But if you use the Spirit's help to stop doing the wrong things you do with your body, you will have true life. Who was it that died and they threw him in the grave and the bones came to life? He had that much spirit in him. Now, if you die and they threw you into a valley of dead people, their bones come to life. We just all lay there dead together. This is serious. This is very serious. There's a present call of the Spirit for us to come higher. Will you respond to the call? You know, if you're not going to go all the way with God, then just leave. I mean, just leave and go ahead, because you're not going to go to heaven. I'm not preaching negative. I'm just preaching the truth to you. If you're not going to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to have control of you, then how are you going to save a soul? There are many, many churches full of people who think they're saved and are really not saved. Now, are you one of those? You're in a church and you think you're saved and you're not. You can be in the church of sinners and be the only one saved, you know, if you're full of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that's in you can draw those other ones that are dead in the church to Christ. See, it's totally up to each one of you in here tonight and those watching. Do you want the fullness of God or do you not? And the fullness of God involves being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing to such a degree that no matter where you go, lives will be changed. I've had people that I've been ministering to over the years say, you know, I really believe what you say, and I feel drawn to what you say. I just don't want God. You can't change somebody's heart. They know what I'm saying is true. They can feel the anointing of God. They just don't want God. You have to walk away. You can't lose your salvation over that soul. They are the ones rejecting God, not you. But if you stay with that person long enough, eventually their junk will rub off on you and you'll find yourself not saved because you will be playing around with their sin. And I'm going to tell you one thing. To live in a house full of sinful people, you have to be one super strong person to fight all that darkness. When it's just you or your mate in the house, you know, say one of you is saved, one of you is not. That's not a bad thing. But when you're in a house of 10 other people and they're not saved, that darkness in them starts sucking the life out of you. And you have to work super hard to keep the anointing going inside of you. You have to reach out for help and say, I'm going, unlike Moses when he held up his arms, I need prayer right now because I'm not making it too well today. But see, that's another thing, the body of Christ, pride. Pride will keep you from reaching out for prayer. And you need to start reaching out for prayer. If you're a leader, you're being fought tooth and nail. Hell has thrown everything at you that it has. And you need to reach out and say, I need my arms lifted today. Because you're not God. And the pressures are hard. And you need somebody to help sustain you for that time period. Are you understanding this? It's not a bad thing to cry, call out and say, will you please pray for me? I do it all the time because I get fought constantly. There's no way this church would survive if I was not constantly staying in the Spirit. Just no way it would. God pays the bills in this church. You know, and God is the one who sends the people into this church because we don't do any door-to-door or anything like that. And God told me that this will always be a swinging door church. In other words, he will bring the people in and he will minister to them what they need. And then they will go back out again. That's how I operate. It's by the Spirit and what God wants to do. Now, what did I say? There's a present call of the Spirit for us to come higher. Will you respond to the call? If you are a minister of the gospel, you need to respond to this call tonight. And you need to come to the altar and let God fill you full of his Holy Spirit and draw you close to his bosom so that you can go forth and minister to your people properly instead of halfway. God's going to hold you accountable for what you do with his sheep. So the altar's open tonight. If you want to be fully, fully just saturated with the Holy Spirit,